Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the day that we celebrate, we express our joy. It is the day in which we hear, as we just heard, from the angels, good news of glad tidings, good news of great joy, the birth of the Savior. But there's something else going on as we celebrate this high festival in the church year. There's something else that goes on during this time of year, and we're all aware of it, whether we experience it acutely or if we're aware that others that we love are experiencing. And that is the joy that we celebrate is tempered by perhaps sadness, that we are missing our loved ones that we so many times before celebrated Christmas with and so many other joyful events. We're sad that they're no longer here with us. And perhaps our joy is a little bit tempered because in the home where it is supposed to be joyful and happy, maybe there's conflict and things aren't so happy. And then there is always looking out at the world and seeing how bad things are, where there are people in government positions who are constantly in power struggles, where there is always social disparity, where wars and natural disasters and pandemics are all too often common occurrences. The fact is that when we come here to celebrate good news of great joy, that we are also aware that it may not seem like there is all that much joy to celebrate. But the fact is that we learn something about what Christmas is, about true joy, from the scripture readings that we heard moments ago. In fact, all of the things that I just described of what's going on in the world today, of what's going on in our own lives, the very same things were happening back then. We heard it as we sung the intro it. Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? We heard of war and bloodshed in the Old Testament reading. And even in the beloved gospel account of the birth of our Savior, we heard a little hint of it. Because Luke tells us that what brought all of this about was a man named Caesar Augustus. This man was originally named Octavian, and he is the one who transformed the Roman Republic into an empire. And guess who became the emperor? It was this man, Octavian, who was no longer to be known as simply Octavian, but Augustus, the August One, Caesar Augustus, who also had a chance to tell everybody that, by the way, I'm divine. So, yes, there was a lot of things going on back then as well, with social disparity and wars and natural disasters and certainly conflict in the home. There has always been sadness and sorrow, a lot of things that can suck our joy right out. And yet, it was actually in this very world, in all of our sorrow and sadness and all of these awful things going on, that God came to us. In fact, whereas Caesar Augustus would have liked everybody to know, and pretty much everybody knew who he was, that he had power and he had glory. And it was clear, it was evident that he did. What he didn't know was of the greatest glory. But it was hidden. Because whereas Caesar Augustus, he would demand homage, and he would demand taxes. And yes, this was even over the Jews who lived 1,500 miles away from where he sat on his royal throne. And if you did not comply with the demands of the Roman emperor, then you paid strict penalties. His was the glory. What he didn't see was the true glory. He didn't see it because it was hidden. It was hidden in a little body, a little baby born of the Virgin Mary in a little town of Bethlehem. Caesar Augustus didn't even realize that his demand for people to be registered to go back to their ancestral home was what kicked into place the fulfillment of prophecies already made in the Old Testament. Caesar Augustus did not realize, or perhaps he didn't want to really see, that his power and his glory was limited. It was limited to this life. Whereas in that little town in Bethlehem, in that little baby, was the greatest glory of God. God, in fact, himself. Because the greatest glory comes in not demands, but rather in a gift. You see, God does demand of us that we give all glory and honor to him because it is due him alone. But mostly what he does is he gives. He gives a gift. And it is his own son. And when the angels spoke to those shepherds about this great news of great joy of the Savior being born, they told the shepherds that this would be the sign. You'll find a little baby, and it'll be wrapped in cloths, and he will be lying in a manger. Not a powerful king sitting on a throne, not one who is wrapped in royal garb, not one who is sitting on a throne, but wrapped in cloths and a manger, a feeding trough for animals. This seems anything but glory. But it is in fact the true glory of God because it is a gift, his own son given to us as the Savior. And in fact, there is even greater glory than this because that little baby was born in order to suffer on a cross, crucifixion, a form of punishment devised by that very Roman Empire. Jesus Christ was beaten and he was bloodstained and he was hanging limply on a cross, a picture of anything of glory, of anything of glory. In fact, he was utterly weak. But this was in fact the true glory of God, the greatest glory of God, because it was the greatest gift. Jesus going to that cross to suffer in our place for the sin of the world, choosing this path to become a human being, to be born in such humble circumstances, and to show the greatest glory of all. You can't see it because it is hidden. Jesus suffering as he did on the cross. The world looks at that and does not see it, but it is the greatest glory. And so when you are experiencing, whether it is sorrow or sadness, or you're just plain wondering how bad things can get in the world, and you are struggling against sins, and you are wondering if there is any true hope or any true joy, then maybe you're looking in the wrong place, because it is there, but it is hidden. It is hidden in that little baby and that man who was crucified on the cross, and in fact in your very own life, where instead of arguing back with your loved ones, you instead seek to make peace and instead you forgive them. It is there in your life as you wonder, as you are so weak and struggling in all these many ways and worried about the state of the world, that in fact, Christ has come to you. You can't see it because he's in you, having come to you in your baptism. The Bible says that in those waters of baptism, you were joined with him, Christ himself. And he gives you strength, strength that you need as you face all of these trials and when your joy seems to be sapped from you. He actually gives you himself. You can't see him because he's hidden. It's in bread and wine. When he gives you his holy supper to eat and drink, he is actually giving you in that bread and wine his very body and his very blood. This is the true glory. It cannot be seen because it is hidden, but it is the greatest glory of all because it is in Christ. And that's why we have true joy. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.